Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Miditam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Bandeham Sri Guru Sri Yutta Pada Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathambitam Tam Sajiva Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakambitamscha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Yadamayam Dadati Svapanantitam Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
You know, this the Bande Hum, because I usually chant it before Arati on Sunday. And the reason I do that is because I was watching one of those videos of Srila Prabhupada and I saw him offering Arati and chanting, you know, the evening Arati, he was chanting the Bande Hum prayer. Mm-hmm. And I mean, but we usually don't do that, right? Mm-hmm. So I said, why not? Mm-hmm. You know, because Prabhupada did it, so. Yeah. Anyway. So we're continuing on our introduction to the Bhagavad Gita and getting background. We had some background last time. And, you know, we got a historical background, both from the kind of the Indology scholar kind of point of view, and we also started at the from the Mahabharata point of view. Okay, started, and I wanted to backtrack a little bit because actually there's an idea or a superstition in India that if you read or study the Mahabharata in the house, you know what the superstition is. You don't hear that?
There will be a war. There will be a battle.
You're going to fight. Your family's going to get in a fight. Uh-huh. Yes. 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 This is the idea. They're
supposed to study it.
No, they don't. They just kind of avoid it. because that's the thinking. Because, you know, the Kauravas and the Pandavas are all one family, and it's a story of a fight in the family. So if you read it, then there's going to be a fight in your family. That's a superstition. So that's... You know, that's why you find out in traditionally in India, you find lots of reciters of the Ramayana. You find lots of reciters of Srimad Bhagavatam. You find hardly any reciters of the Mahabharata, mm-hmm. And that's why. Yeah. Of course, it's a superstition, and you'll find that even without reading the Mahabharata in the house, there's plenty of fights in the family. You know, it goes. You know, you can't avoid it. Yeah.
I've also heard that you shouldn't have a picture of Nrisimhadev tearing apart Hiranyakashipu.
Oh, who told you that?
I don't know where I've heard that, but I was told that you should have Nrisimhadev if you're in a household, that you should have Nrisimhadev with Prahlad because it's a peaceful. I don't know if that's superstition as well. Or
I don't either.
I heard something similar to that too. Mm-hmm.
The ferocious aspect of Nrisimhadev is not desirable for the,
of several material
family.
Attachments.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, for the house, yeah.
That's what you don't want. House burned down or everything else.
the first painting we had of Nrisimhadev was, if I remember, I mean, I was in New York and Jadarani was the painter who painted, it was. Mm-hmm. Lord Nrisimhadev tearing apart Hiranyakashipu, and it was in the temple. Of course, that wasn't a house. So, anyway, I don't know. Anyway, so anyway, there's this idea, but Well, that's true, even though the central jewel of the Mahabharata is the Bhagavad Gita, and the Bhagavad Gita's teachings are revered all over India and the world also. So this idea is really, it's flatly, it's due to ignorance, I'm sorry to say. Because according to the author of the Bhagavad Gita, and Mahabharata, it's Vyasadeva, the one who hears it attentively, recites it, studies it, memorizes it, they can make progress and reach the goal of life, which is to develop love of Krishna, actually. And this is confirmed in the Srimad Bhagavatam and purports by Srila Prabhupada also. In fact, the careful study of the Mahabharata and Bhagavad Gita give clear and essential clues to the causes of the quarrel between the Pandavas and Kauravas, and that give same hints to the or same causes that people fight anywhere. Because what is that? Because the quarrel between family members and classes and ethnicities and genders and all that, nations, and how to avoid them it's rooted in the conception that, you know, we're the body, and therefore we need to accumulate as much as we can for sense gratification, regardless of what anyone else thinks or whatever is in the best interest of the soul or Krishna's desire. So really, it's a good study of the Mahabharata, and the introduction to the Bhagavad Gita gives us knowledge about how to avoid those kind of quarrels. There's a verse in the Shirsha Upanishad, which you probably know. Vidyam cha vidyam cha yas tadvedo payam saha. You know this one? Vidyam cha vidyam. Vidyam means knowledge, and cha vidyam, and ignorance, should be studied side by side. They just have to be studied. So the process of knowledge and the process of ignorance. So by understanding both, then you can attain liberation. How do you get in Maya? How do you get liberated? You know, how do you get, you know, with those things? So that's there. So with that in mind, we can really look at what's going on leading up to the battle in Bhagavad Gita. So it's because these causes are everywhere. It's ludicrous to think that avoiding reading Bhagavad Gita there will be no family quarrel. So these ideas that satisfaction or physical comforts of our kinsmen or ourselves is the topmost priority, and what's that called? Kama, right? That's kama. That's or lust. This is what sparked the contentious attitude between, you know, especially from the side of the Kauravas. And, you know, we'll find in Bhagavad Gita, the purpose of speaking Bhagavad Gita is to reduce and to control lust. So this is the whole thing. So understanding Bhagavad Gita and Mahabharata and will dispel this thinking. You know, so there's many different kind of approaches that people have to the Mahabharata, and now it's become a bit fashionable to have a sympathetic portrayal of Duryodhan. You know that? It's very popular in India. Yeah. He's a victim of circumstances, you know. He's got 100, there's 100 sons, and so he's one of 100, so he doesn't get a snitch, right? Some kind of psychological thing. Plus, when you got the Pandavas, who are quite powerful, and especially Bhima, because in their, you know, in the beginning of their lives, the Pandavas were in the forest. Up till about Yudhishthira was about 16, the Pandavas in the forest. But then they came to Hastinapur, and then they were there with the Kauravas, and so there was some kind of, you know, rivalry going on. And, of course, what young boys often do, I mean, if Yudhishthira is 16, then Bhima is probably 14 or so. So there's always some kind of wrestling and stuff like that. And the thing is that Bhima would usually win. Right? So what do you think resulted from that?
Jealousy.
Yeah, sure.
Sure. So then, I mean, there's always some sibling rivalry, but if it gets to the point where the sibling wants to kill the other sibling and actually tries to make an attempt, that's not a very sympathetic character, you'd think, you know. So we can't make excuses for that. This is, that's called attempted murder, right? Right? But, you know, this is actually, if it's just an allegory or something, you know, mythological, then, but this was, the, you know, so we talked last time about Duryodhan poisoning
cake
and giving it to Bhim, and then, you know, there was neutralizing of the poison by the being bitten when he was bitten by the snakes underneath. Yeah, but that was an attempt at a murder. Okay. So then, you know, if you look at what are the causes, the other causes of Duryodhan's concern. Well, really, you know, if you look at what happened, so then both sides were being trained by Dronacharya. Yeah, Dronacharya. Mm-hmm. Both sides were being trained, and you know, they had skill in statecraft and in weaponry. So in statecraft, Yudhishthira excelled. Statecraft, you know, how to rule and how to do things properly. For example, there was one instance where it was Ekadashi, like today, and Dronacharya called Yudhishthira and Duryodhan to him. He said, "I want you to go out." And he told Yudhishthira, "You find someone who's in this kingdom that's lower than you." And he told Duryodhan, "You find someone in this kingdom who's better than you, and come back and you report to me at the end, by the end of the day." So Yudhishthira went out and he looked and looked and looked, and he came back very late and he said, "You know, I looked everywhere and I couldn't find, actually I found one person, and that he was a farmer who was taking water out of a well." I said, "Aha!" Because on the Ekadashi, at least in those days, people were fasting even from water. So I caught this guy, he's taking water, and I didn't take any water that day. But then when I approached him and talked to him, he was just taking it for his animals, it wasn't for himself. I failed. And with Duryodhan, when he came back, he said, I looked everywhere, and there I found that there's no one that's better than me. So the conclusion was that Yudhishthira was qualified, because the person is ruling to be the servant of others, not just to be, you know, try to be better. Anyway, so this is, you know, that. And then with Arjuna, there were so many cases, you know. There was the time when Dronacharya called everyone and he put a man-made bird in a tree. And he called all the archers up, all the students up one by one, and he said, "Yeah, I want you to look at that, you know, and I want you to string your bow and aim at that bird, and I want you to, when on my order, when I tell you to, you shoot and hit the bird, man-made bird." So he called Yudhishthira, he called Duryodhana, he called everybody. And each time he said, "What do you see?" And they said, "Oh, I see the bird." And he said, "Do you see anything else?" I said, "Yeah, I see the tree, I see you, I see everybody." Okay, he said, "Stand down." So then, when he called Arjuna, he said, "What do you see?" He said, "Well, I see the bird. Do you see anything else?" "I see the neck of the bird. Do you see anything else?" "No, that's not all. I see nothing else, just the neck of the bird and nothing else." He said, "Okay, shoot." And his hair stood on end because he was so focused on the order being given by his teacher. So he excelled there. Then later, when there was one time when Drona was trying to test everyone, so he was bitten on the leg by a crocodile, and he called for help from the students, and everybody was in disarray, but Arjuna immediately took his bow, whoosh, killed the crocodile and saved his teacher. So Drona gave a benediction that nobody will be equal to you in battle, in archery, in this martial arts. And then there was in each of these cases, you know, this was not a a secret thing. This was public. Duryodhan was there, so he wanted to win, right? In each of these cases, but he didn't win. So it was becoming more and more difficult. Then they had a tournament, and in the tournament, again, Arjun excelled. He showed his prowess, even though Duryodhan was there. And at the end of the tournament, in came, you know who came at the end of the tournament? Karna. And he matched Arjun's feats of military skill. This, for Duryodhan, was wonderful. He loved it. And it's very interesting, the reason. Now you have to think about this. Because on the side of the Kauravas, there were other great warriors like... Who do you know on the side of the Kauravas?
Ashwatthama,
yeah. But Ashwatthama wasn't as good as Arjun. Who else was on the side of the...
Kripacharya,
yeah. He was pretty good. Huh? No, he was at Pandava's side.
Dronacharya.
Who else?
Bhishma.
I mean, these were very powerful warriors. They were incredibly, you know, Dronacharya was the teacher. But Duryodhan wasn't so, didn't put his faith in them. Why? Because he couldn't control them, right? He couldn't get them to do just what he wanted. Whereas with Karna, when Karna came, there was some question about what was his background? Was he really royal? Because he was, even though he was born of Kunti and the sun, he was raised by a chariot driver. So they questioned his background. And so Duryodhan said, "Oh, wait. I'll give you a kingdom." So, a king is not just someone who has royal birth, but it's by their qualities and their activities. By his activities, you can see he's a king. And I'll give him a kingdom. He gave him part of his kingdom. So because of that bond that happened, Karna was tied to Duryodhan, and that's why he was a very important person here. Anyway, okay, so then we talked about, you have a question.
I'm sorry, so you said that Dronacharya gave a benediction to Arjun that no one could excel him in prowess.
Yes.
But Karna was equal to him in prowess?
It seemed that way, at least in this tournament.
Okay.
You know, when it really came down to it, that's another thing. But in the tournament, he matched his accomplishments.
Mm-hmm.
Good point. But we'll see later that it didn't really,
It didn't.
Yeah, but, in the details right now, at that time, Karna was able to match his prowess at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So then... We talked about the House of Lack last time, and I was really thinking about that because this is the five Nishadas and their mother always bothered me. You know, because I was always trying to think about what happened. They had a party. They were burned to death, even though they were apparently, you know, innocent. And I told you about what I read about the Mahabharata. Yeah, but then, this last week I was reading also, in the Mahabharata itself, when Vidura warns Yudhisthira when he leaves on their way to Varanavata, he warns him of two things. He said, beware of fire and beware of poison. That's interesting. So that kind of shows that this is that there's going to be a poisoning. And then I looked in the Srimad Bhagavatam. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Vidura, after the Kurukshetra war, comes back to the palace, and Yudhisthira greets him, and he says, "Just like the wings of a dove, you saved us from poison and arson." Isn't that interesting? So, but of course, Bhima was poisoned before. So, was it referring to that? Is it referring to that? Couldn't it be?
He said us versus.
Yes. And Vidura had nothing to do with that. Vidura didn't save them when that happened.
Was that prior to them leaving?
Yeah, that event happened when everybody was a kid, but Vidura wasn't involved in that. But particularly Vidura was involved in saving them from the house of lack. And it's really interesting because the question is, did Dhritarashtra know that Duryodhan was going to burn up the house? Mm-hmm. Did he know? Actually, what happened was Duryodhan, he told Purochan, who was his minister, who built the had the house built and who was supposed to burn it down, he told, "Don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody." So he was keeping it, he wanted to keep it very, very secret. So it's Duryodhan is manipulating the situation, getting Dhritarashtra said, "Well, you know, here are these Pandavas and we were rivals and stuff like that. Why don't we just, in the pretense of giving them a vacation, banish them from here?" So, and when he banished them, or sent them to Varanavata, what happened was, all the people, they said, "What is going on? The king has lost his mind. He's getting rid of the Pandavas, but they're beloved to us." So, what Duryodhan arranged to do is to give people charity, to shut him up. Okay. All right. And so then, when the Pandavas were apparently killed in the fire, everybody said, "This is the arrangement of Duryodhan. This is the arrangement of Duryodhan and his father, Dhritarashtra." People knew. Okay. But they were happy. Oh, you know, did I tell you what they named the house? Where they built the house of lack? But it wasn't
Lakshagriha.
No, that's the. But it was called specifically Shiva Griha. Shiva Griha. Griha means house, and Shiva means
auspicious.
Very auspicious. Yeah. So they name it Shiva Griha. This is like a foreboding of what goes on nowadays. Yeah, like they'll pass the Clean Air Act and put it through Congress, but really, it's the things are to allow for pollution. That's so that, you know, the Shiva Griha. But really, what it was meant for was to kill everybody, to kill. Yeah. So there's all these different parts of this one. So then they escape through the tunnel built by the engineer sent by Vidura, and they. Bhim defeats the Hidimba demon and then marries his sister. Ghatotkacha is born. They stay incognito for a while because they're thinking that any moment Duryodhan's people is going to kill them when they're sleeping or something, because they're already dead. At least the socially people think they're dead. Let's get a little bit of a time awareness of how the people are, how old they are. So Yudhishthira was about 16 when they came back from the forest. That means that Arjuna's maybe 13, 12, something like this. So how old is Krishna at that time? Krishna's the same age as Arjuna. Yeah, same age as Arjuna. So this is right after when Arjuna comes out of the forest, about the same time Krishna leaves Vrindavan. About the same time. And when Krishna leaves Vrindavan, he goes to Mathura. Mathura, right. And how long does Krishna stay in Mathura? About 17 years he stays. 17 years. And then from Mathura, Krishna goes to Dwarka, right, to Dwarka. So from Mathura to Dwarka, and what's one of the first things he does when he gets to Dwarka, Krishna? He builds the place, but he marries Rukmini, right? That's okay. He marries Rukmini. So, and just before he leaves Mathura for Dwarka, he invites Akura to his house. Just before he leaves, did I tell you this last time? Yeah. No. So he right before he leaves, when he first after he kills Kamsa, you know, Akura, his uncle, tells him, "Hey, come over to my house. I'm going to, you know, receive you and stuff." He says, "Not now." Krishna said, "Not now." Later. I got business. So then just before he leaves Mathura, he calls Akura, and he goes to Akura's house, and he tells Akura, listen, I got a job for you. I want you to go to Hastinapur. You know this? And you got to... There's some mischief going on in Hastinapur between Dhritarashtra and Duryodhana. They're making some plots against the Pandavas. And you got to tell them, stop that. So Akura actually goes to Hastinapur and tries to counsel Dhritarashtra not to follow this policy of his son as trying to cause trouble with the Pandavas. But Dhritarashtra says, I can't do that. It's very interesting. Okay. So then... You know, for while Krishna is in Dwarka, a short time after marrying Rukmini, he marries Jambavati and Satyabhama, and just after marrying Satyabhama, his father-in-law gets murdered. Krishna's father-in-law gets murdered in cold blood. You didn't know this? Yeah. Krishna wasn't there.
Satrajit.
Satrajit. That's Krishna's, because it's Satyabhama's father, who had the Shyamataka jewel. There was a whole thing about that. We're not going to go into that. But he got murdered in cold blood while Krishna was away. And where was he away?
He's getting the party. No.
Nope.
At the funeral of the Pandavas.
Yes, he was attending the funeral of the Pandavas in Hastinapur. Mm-hmm. So after Krishna was married, after the Jambavati and Satyabhama, the Pandavas had just recently left the house of Lak. Okay, so that means that the Pandavas are now, you know, Arjuna is around 30 or so. Still, he hasn't married Draupadi. So anyway, they're incognito. Then they're dressed as Brahmins. They come to the Draupadi, the Swayamvar of Draupadi, who was the daughter of Maharaj Drupad, and he wanted to have a daughter who would marry Arjun, who had also Drona's dakshina means his offering from his students was, I want you to capture Drona. Drupada. Yeah. So there was a big fight at that time, and Arjun was the one who captured Drupada. Karna and Duryodhana were not very helpful in that regard. So publicly, the Pandavas were successful and Duryodhana wasn't. So this just builds his envy. Then there's the Swayamvara Draupadi. And at the Swayamvara of Draupadi, Draupadi was like the beauty of the age. And there were all these hundreds and hundreds and thousands of kings that had come to try to get the hand of Draupadi. And who was there? Duryodhana was there. Yeah? Karna was there, right? So many of the kings were there. You know who else was there? Krishna, Balaram. And Pradyumna. Pradyumna is, you know who Pradyumna is?
Krishna's son
by Rukmini. So he was actually an adult. So how is it? Is this lots of years later?
They have to be at least 40, 40.
You think. 40. But the trick is here that Pradyumna grew to maturity like that. He didn't have it. Because he was a special guy. So anyway. Okay. So anyway, Krishna and Balaram weren't in part of the competition. So anyway, there was a competition, and the first they had to string the bow, and all of them tried to string the bow, and, you know, some versions say that, you know, they got really close, but they couldn't do it. Some versions say that Draupadi said, I'm not going to allow Sutaputra Karna to compete. Anyway. But Arjun was the only one who could string the bow. And how did he do it? He circumambulated and paid respect first to the bow. It was a special bow. Mm. And then he strung it in. And so then he was dressed as a Brahmin. And all these people who are kings, they had come there to get Draupadi's hand and say, what is this? This is an insult. This Brahman has won the hand of Draupadi, and all these kings are here, and they couldn't do it. So they couldn't fight Brahmins because it was against the rules to fight, you know, Kshatriyas to fight Brahmins. So they took it out on Drupad, the king. He said, "You've invited us here just to insult us." So they attacked Drupad, Draupadi's father. Mm-hmm. And Bhim and Arjun, they fought him off and defeated them, all these people. So here again, Duryodhan is second, he's bested. In the public. In the public.
Did they recognize? Because the Pandavas were supposed to be dead, right?
Right. No. They didn't recognize. This is very interesting. This is very interesting. So here are these people, they grew up with them, right? The Kauravas and Pandavas grew up for many years together, and they're in the same place, you know, doing very close, and they didn't even recognize them until later. So this means they must have had some really special kind of disguises. You know, like now, in the last 20 years, the CIA, they make these special masks. But they must have had some fabulous disguises. If you can, they're right there dealing with them. They couldn't know. Even they were fighting. So, like Karna was fighting with Arjuna, and he was shocked that here's this Brahmin who's fighting with this incredible prowess. He said, "Who are you? Are you Vishnu? Are you Parshuram? Or maybe, you know, you're death personified." But, you know. He said, "Oh, maybe are you the Pandava Arjun?" So Arjun said, "No, I'm just a Brahmin who's pleased my guru." Anyway. Oh. So they fought, and Arjun defeated, he had to run away, Karna. So anyway, this here's another case where Duryodhan is humiliated. So then afterwards they go back to the Hastinapur under the request of Dhritarashtra, who's influenced by Vidura and Bhishma and Drona. At that time, Duryodhan, finding out that the Pandavas are alive, he and Karna and Shakuni, they get together and they make a plan. Well, they want to go and just destroy the Pandavas and kill them right now. Before they get too much influence. Because now they have all the army, you know, the Kauravas. But they're dissuaded and they're not allowed to do that by Drona, Bhishma, and Vidura. So they're stopped. And so Drona, Bhishma, and Vidura are influenced, give influence to Dhritarashtra, so it doesn't happen. So they come back, and Dhritarashtra, when he first sees them, he says, "Listen, you know, you got to stop this fighting between my sons and you." He blames them for that. "You got to stop this fighting." And then he says, "You know, we've been talking and we're going to divide the kingdom. Split the kingdom. This is what we've decided. So we're going to give you Kandavaprastha," which is a... And Kandavaprastha was an uninhabited land. So they were dividing the kingdom, but they took all the good parts. Really, this is what happened. They took all the good parts. So actually, by the arrangement of Krishna and Indra, they made Kandavaprastha a wonderful place. They built this beautiful palace by Maya Danava actually did, by because anyway there was a whole story about Maya Danava was going to be burned in the forest that was being that Agni wanted to eat. So Arjun saved Maya Danava and he said, "Can I give you some benediction? So let me do something for you." And Arjun says, I saved you, but I'm not just trying to get something out of that. If you want to do something, you should do something to please Krishna. Right? That's devotee, right? Do something to please Krishna. So Krishna said, "Well, you know what? I want you to do something for the Pandavas. So build them a wonderful palace." So like, you know, in the United States is known by the White House or the, you know, the Capitol building. So any big government is known by the, you know, some of the buildings. So they built this wonderful palace, Mayadana. It had 1,000 entrances. Wow. You can think of, you know, in a, like, those big... stadiums they have nowadays, football stadiums, how many entrances there may be, 20 or 30. Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it's gigantic. And they eventually, the Pandavas wanted to hold a Rajasuya sacrifice so that Yudhishthir would be the emperor of the world. But his purpose was not for that, but to bring all the kings of the world together. And part of the ceremony was that there would be a recognition of the most important person, the best person, and that person would be worshipped or given homage first. So, and who was that going to be? Krishna. Yeah, so Yudhishthira, this is the mission of Krishna, right? Mm-hmm. Religion means to offer respects to Krishna. So Yudhishthira's plan was to bring all the kings of the world together to offer respects to Krishna. That's a good plan, yeah.
At this point, did everyone know that Krishna was God? Or?
Some people did, some people didn't. Pandavas mostly did, you know. Some devotees did. So anyway, this was their plan, the Pandavas' plan. But when Duryodhan came there for this, he also was there. The palace made by Maya Dhanava was such that particularly people who were envious of the Pandavas, they would get fooled by some of the structures there. It would appear to them that water was land and land was water. Mm-hmm. So when Duryodhan was getting his tour, he thought there was water. He lifted up his cloth, people, and then he thought something was solid, and it was water, and he fell, and he splashed. So the ladies in the palace, the queens, including Draupadi, they got a chuckle out of that. But Duryodhan was furious. He was furious. Now, at the same time, he had, he was still the king of Hastinapur, practically. He was calling the shots. I mean, he had his father who was the elder, but he was calling the shots. Huge wealth in Hastinapur. But seeing the wealth of the Pandavas, he became depressed. He had a nervous breakdown.
Duryodhan,
yeah. Okay. He started losing weight, he became listless and all that stuff. And so, really, So he had his counselors. His counselors were Karna and Shakuni, right? And Dushasan. So Shakuni talked to him. He said, "What's the matter?" He said, "Well, I can't stand to see them having this opulence." So that's where they cooked up the plot. What was the plot? Seven game of dice, right? Seven game of dice. Now Shakuni was expert in dice. Plus, they had dice that were particularly—they were rigged. Because they were made from his father's bones, so but they couldn't. Shakuni couldn't get Yudhishthira to come and play dice. So everybody knew he was a little bit, crooked. So what did they do? They influenced Dhritarashtra to tell Yudhishthira, "Come on, let's have a game of dice." So Dhritarashtra called Yudhishthira and said, "Hey. These guys they want to play some dice, and so that's sometimes you play dice to pass the time. What do you think Yudhishthira said?"
"Yes, sure."
"Not a good idea. Not a good. This is what he said. Not a good idea. You know what? See, when people gamble, they get carried away. Their minds get over. They get carried away, and then they lose their sense. And so this is not a good thing. I mean, it's not a good thing for Kshatriyas. This is not a good plan. It's not a good plan." So Shakuni pipes up, "Hey, what's the matter? We're just going to have a game of dice for recreation. This is not a big deal. Right? This is not a big deal. What's the big deal?" So Dhritarashtra insists. Yudhishthira objects. Dhritarashtra insists. And Dhritarashtra, he's being used as a an instrument by his son, right? So Yudhishthira thinks, "Okay, well, he's my superior. Right. He's my superior. And we're supposed to do what the superior..." There's that verse, guru na sasyat. Nobody should become a guru, nobody should become a father, mother, spiritual master, or king, unless they can deliver their dependents from death. So here we have Dhritarashtra in the position of his father, his uncle, so he's like his father, his superior. You tell him, play dice. So Yudhisthira gives in, okay. Then they play. Of course, what happens?
It's rigged.
It's rigged, and he loses first all his wealth. He loses their horses, their chariots, their weapons. Then he loses. He bets his brother. Then he bets himself. He loses himself. And so then, Duryodhan says, "There's one more thing you haven't lost." Draupadi, yeah. And so there's a discussion. Well, he's already lost himself, and Draupadi is part of it. So they have a discussion. But Duryodhan cuts through that. He tells his brother, "You go get Draupadi right now." She was in her quarters, and she was during her monthly time. So Dushasan, she doesn't want to come, but he pulls her out by the hair. And Draupadi appeals to all the elders there, and they don't do a thing. So then she eventually appeals to Krishna, and Krishna incarnates as an unlimited sari to cover her, so she's not seen there. Because the Duryodhan tells Dushasan to pull her clothes off so she can be seen, and that way she becomes their property, he's thinking. So, Krishna, yeah.
I mean, you can't help but think that Yudhishthira must have, when he surrendered to Dhritarashtra's request, that he must have known he was going to lose everything. I understand that he knew that he was responding to the relationship of Dhritarashtra being his superior. Sorry, I have asthma, and that's like really... So I apologize, but...
Oh, the flowers.
It's the incense. But so I'm thinking that when he went into the dice game, he already knew ahead of time he was going to lose everything,
well,
more than likely.
What some commentators say, that he never really gets to the point of understanding that that his uncle has nefarious motives until the end of that second dice game.
Oh, so this tradition
is there that you got to follow the superiors. You got to follow the superiors, and he's the superior, and even though they had been there was attempted murder with Bhima, there was attempted murder at the House of Lack, and now.
The divide of the kingdom.
They divided the kingdom, which was, and they gave him the bad part. Right? But in all these cases, still, he's thinking that this isn't going to happen. Mm-hmm. And he's thinking, well, Krishna's going to protect me. Mm-hmm. And actually, Krishna does, but not in the way that we like. In the short run, in the long run, Krishna protects me.
Is that the same situation with Draupadi when you see all these great souls like Bhishma? And the others, they're watching this scenario and her being pulled in against her will and such disrespect. Is it the same situation where they're realizing Krishna's going to protect her and I have to honor the system?
They're individual, different individuals there. Vidura, Vidura is actually saying this is no good, this is no good. Bhishma and Drona are being equivocal. But Vidura, so there's different people. Dhritarashtra is blind. He's saying, what's going on? And then when the unlimited sari comes, Krishna protects her, then they kind of realize the jig is up. This is something supernatural that we can't. So then he says, okay, no, we apologize. Draupadi, you take 3 boons from me. He says that to Draupadi. You're actually my favorite daughter, he says. So then she says, give me my husband's back and give us our kingdom back. He says, yeah, done. Take a third boon. She said, I'm not taking a third boon because Kshatriyas only take 2. Mm.
Who's giving her these
boons? Dhritarashtra. After Krishna. So then what happens is Duryodhana and Shakuni and Karna get together and they say, listen, you know, the Pandavas are piping mad now. You know, they're gonna destroy us. We gotta head them off at the pass. So they go back to Dhritarashtra and say, listen, we gotta have another dice match. There's a second one. There's two. So this time they say it's not all this stuff, just it's all or nothing. All or nothing. One time, the person who loses or the group who loses, they have to go to the forest for 12 years and the 13th year incognito, they have to lose before they come back. So anyway, Dhritarashtra influences them. Dhritarashtra does it again. He does it again. And Yudhishthira does it again. And they lose everything. Again. Except not Draupadi this time. So then they go in the forest for 12 years. Okay, now we can do some math. We can do some math here. So if Krishna was 85 at the Battle of Kurukshetra, and Krishna was 85 at the Battle of Kurukshetra, yeah.
Wow, it shows in the picture.
Yeah, of course he's Navi Yoga.
Looks older than 16.
Yeah. So he's 85 at the Battle of Kurukshetra. And they were exiled for 12 years and 1 year incognito. That means, okay, so then how long were they in Indraprastha? Yeah, there was 30, 40 years they were in Indraprastha. Yeah. So there's a good long time in there before. In the forest, when they went to in the forest for exile, one of the first things that Duryodhan does, you know, is he sends Durvasmuni there. Why does he send Durvasmuni there? Because he knows that Durvasmuni's got a bad temper. And so he sends them at a particular time when he knows that Draupadi's meals have been finished, because they have this special pot. And that special pot would feed unlimitedly people until Draupadi had taken her meals that day. So his plan was to send Durvas there after she's had her meals, and then they won't be able to feed him, and they'll get mad and they'll get cursed. See, this is the well-wishing cousins, right? Wow. Well-wishing cousins. So, but you know what happened. Krishna came, and there was this, he said, is there anything left in that pot? Anything, a little bit? So there's this little bit, and Krishna took that, and then the Durvasa and all of his disciples were satisfied. They didn't come back because they had... Yeah. Then the Kauravas wanted to kind of humiliate the Pandavas, so they brought all their cows and their horses and they had a picnic right by where the Pandavas, where they found the Pandavas were staying. And they wanted to show off, right? And show, because the Pandavas were living there very, very humbly. They wanted to show their opulence. But what happened was one of Arjun's friend, Sugandharva, that he had defeated at some time before and had given mercy to, came and fought the Kauravas and defeated them all. Duryodhan, Karna, etc. And when Yudhishthira and the Pandavas heard their cries, they said, oh, this is a good riddance for them. Good riddance for them. But Yudhishthira said, no, you don't want anybody else to do your work. He said, go and rescue them. So, this was going on. Then, you know, there were so many activities. Then there was the 13th year was incognito, where they stayed in the kingdom of Virat. Yeah, in Matsya province, kingdom of Virat. Before that, there was an incident during the Lake of Death, which was very, very interesting, where they were posed certain questions by Yamaraj, and Yudhishthira was given a benediction that they wouldn't be found, even though they were, you know, in plain sight. But anyway, they went to Matsya province, the kingdom of Virat, and the king, and they assumed different identities. Yudhishthira was named Kanka. He was the minister for the. He became the minister of the king. Bhim became a cook named Balbala, and Arjun became.
Dancer, dance teacher?
Yes, Brihandala, because he had been cursed by Urvashi. When he was... Go ahead.
He was a eunuch?
Yes, Because when you know, during the time when they were in the forest, Indra called Arjuna to help him defeat some Nivatakapachas in the heavenly planets. And while he was there, Urvashi, who was a heavenly damsel, Gandharva, heavenly society girl, saw him and she wanted to have some affair with him. But he said, no, no, I can't, Arjuna. Because she and one of Arjuna's forefathers had coupled, and the result was they're part of the Kaurava line. So yeah, I see you as mother. So she got mad and cursed him that you'll become a eunuch. But Indra saw that. He said, don't worry. It'll be for a year and it'll be for your benefit when you're trying to... So he became a eunuch for that 1 year. And he taught girls how to dance and sing. So he had different talents, right? He wasn't just a tough kshatriya. He had disguises. He had musical talents and dancing talents, intellectual talents, right? So So he taught actually Virat's daughter Uttara how to dance. You know. So then near the end of the Virat's queen's brother was named Kichaka. Now all this time the Kauravas are sending their spies everywhere because they know that Yudhishthira is a man of his word. And so if they can find him and discover them during the year when they're incognito, then they have to go back in exile for another 12 years. So they're taking advantage of that. They're sending their spies everywhere because they want to put him back in exile. So they're very nice guys, right? Yeah. I mean, really. They steal their kingdom, but you think there's any contrition? Not a bit of contrition. They try to kill them repeatedly. So they put all their spies out. And so what happens twice is first Bhim, there's a wrestling tournament. And, you know, these big wrestlers from all over come. And the king wants Bhima to be a wrestler. First he tries to resist, but no, he insists. So actually, Bhima defeats some of these big wrestlers, and so then some word gets back to Hastinapur, oh, something's happening. There's this unusual, powerful cook there. But then, the queen's brother named Kichaka, who was king from in charge of like Indonesia and that part, he goes after Draupadi, whose name is Shairandri. And he again and again goes after, and then he tries to influence his sister to make arrangements to get them together. And she insists, and Draupadi says, no, I have Gandharva husbands, and they will kill him. But she doesn't care. So Bhima hears about this from Draupadi, and there's an arrangement that Draupadi says, okay, yes, to the queen's brother, whose name is Kichaka, I'll meet you in this special place inside and late at night, and we'll have some fun together. So Bhima then goes there and gets in the bed and hides, and Kichaka comes there in the middle of the night, and he, you know, taps what he thinks is Draupadi on the shoulder, and there's this, you know, Bhima comes out and there's a gigantic fight, and Kichaka's killed, and it's a big problem. And the because this Kichaka is incredibly powerful, so the word gets back to the Hastinapur that this happened, and so then they think the Pandavas must be there because nobody could kill this Kichaka. And other. So at that point, the Kauravas, Duryodhan and company, they come to attack the Matsya Maharaj Virat. So here we are in another case, unprovoked. There's a battle that takes place. Unprovoked. They attack. And Brihannala becomes the chariot driver of Virat's son. And Virat's son, his name is Uttara Kumar, he wants to run away. But Brihannala, Arjuna, stops him. And then he takes over. And he defeats the whole Kaurava army. Anyway, so this is so the year of incognito was over just at that time, and so then there's a question: will they get their kingdom back? Because that was the agreement. That was the agreement. They would get their kingdom back, and Duryodhan initial things are that they won't get the kingdom back. So then, Yudhishthir and Arjun, they want to make some peace offering. So what do? They sent Krishna as an ambassador, as their ambassador, to go to the kingdom of Hastinapur, into the assembly, you know, where there's the management team. The management team is Drona, you know, Vidura, mm-hmm. Bhishma, Duryodhan, Dhritarashtra, Kripacharya, yeah, and make a plea. Okay, so Krishna goes there, and he says, all the Pandavas need is, you don't have to give their whole kingdom, just give them 5 villages. Give them 5 villages, that's all. And Duryodhan says, not even as much land as will fit on the head of a pin. That's it. Mm-hmm. You know, he saw what happened when they got kind of a prasta, right? So he doesn't want to, he's not budging even a little bit. And this is over the objection of Bhishma, Drona, and Vidura. So then what happens is, and he says, because Krishna's on the side of the Pandavas, he goes and he tries to have Krishna kidnapped. Mm-hmm. And Krishna shows his universal form. But still, Duryodhana thinks, this is just some yogic jugglery. It's not, you know, even though Krishna is, you know, is yogic jugglery. So then Krishna leaves, and Vidura then goes to see Dhritarashtra by themselves. So he says, you know, this is never going to work. You know, Krishna's on the side of the Pandavas, and Krishna can never be defeated. So you're going to get trouble. Your whole dynasty is going to be killed if you go along with your son, Duryodhana. Mm-hmm. You know what happens? This is after Krishna tried to give, you know, have a peace, the peace proposal. After the peace proposal, Dhritarashtra is in there lobbying to, you know, speak some sense into Dhritarashtra. The thing is interrupted by Duryodhana. He says, what are you doing here? You're causing trouble. Mm-hmm. You're trying to influence my father for the enemy. Mm-hmm. So he kicks him out mm-hmm. And Vidura leaves the palace. Mm-hmm. So that's the prelude to the war. Now, it's a really, really interesting point to think about is, how does this apply to nowadays? To what's happening now? One thing that's really interesting is there were several times when the Pandavas were aggressed against. Remember, when in the beginning we said there's different kinds of aggressors. What are they?
Poison, burning fire. House, taking the land,
taking land,
plundering the riches,
one's wife,
attacking the weapon.
Yeah.
And giver of poison.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Each one of those things had was done to the Pandavas. Each one of them. Which we discussed. Yeah. What was supposed to happen? In a regular society, if somebody is a criminal, what happens?
Punished.
Yeah, they're punished. They get arrested, they go to trial. Yeah. So, why aren't the Kauravas and Duryodhan, why aren't they ever arrested?
Because they're royalty.
Because they're fraudulent.
That's right. Because Dhritarashtra is
weak.
in charge, and he doesn't do it. He does not punish him.
He's too attached.
He's too attached to his son. Yeah, mm-hmm. He's got this intimate relationship with this son who's breaking the law repeatedly, and he doesn't bring him to justice. Mm-hmm. And everybody knows it. It's not a secret. All the people know it. Yadyadacharati shvesta. So, to break the law with impunity. And that's what was going on repeatedly. Now, the thing is that it didn't happen on the lower level. I mean, Duryodhana, in one sense, he was pretty good in giving, like bribing people and keeping people materially happy. So it wasn't like, but it was specifically in his relationship with the Pandavas, repeatedly, criminally attacking them. And Dhritarashtra, being the in charge, he did not punish them. The same thing goes on today. Isn't it?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. The people in charge, you know, there's other people that they have close connections with that are breaking the laws, and they don't punish them.
Right.
That's what's going on.
You get pardon.
Yeah.
Pardon.
Well, pardon, or they just say, well, yeah, yeah. Like, I'm just, and this is kind of mundane, but, you know, there were these laws that were developed in the 1970s because, you know, after Nixon and all that stuff, and there was Watergate. This is American history. And they found out, well, the CIA and the FBI are doing all these illegal things. There's, you know, what happened was that, you know, J. Edgar Hoover would have to come in front of Congress every year and tell Congress how many people he was wiretapping, you know, because you're supposed to get a permit to wiretap. So he'd say, you know, at this moment, there's 32 or 15 or something like that. So what was actually happening is, that the day before he would have to testify at Congress, he'd contact all of his agents and tell them, stop your wiretapping for one day.
Oh.
That's what he would do. So, and all this kind of stuff was going on, illegal stuff where you're supposed to get permits for it. So they had these hearings, they found out all this illegal stuff was going on, so they made laws that in order to spy on people domestically, you know, you had to get permission from a certain court, you know, stuff. So then, after 9/11, there all these kind of rules were broken, wantonly. Thousands and thousands of things were going on. So when it was found out, there was an uproar. That was in like 2005. So what happened after that? You know what happened? They were given immunity. They were given immunity. All the. See, it was not the like Verizon and all the telecommunications firms that cooperated with the government to spy on people in this country. They were culpable because it was against the law, and they knew it was against the law. But they were given immunity. The people, there was all these laws against torture, international laws and national laws. Torture went on rampantly, but all those people who were involved in torture were given immunity. Why? Because they were close, they had a close relationship, right. They're the banks. The banks, they did all kinds of illegal things, you know, wasted billions and billions and billions of dollars, brought down the economy, but because they're close, there's been no criminal charges. So it's the same kind of thing that happens nowadays that's going on back then. Right? So, even though they're avaricious, they're nonetheless superiors. And if we kill them, then our spoils will be tainted with blood. That was Arjuna's argument. But Krishna wanted that the laws be upheld. That no longer was going to go on like that. Repeatedly attempted murder on a number of occasions, stealing their property, poisoning, plundering their treasure, attacking with pointed weapons, and what's in there? All those things. And everybody knew it. So if you're going to have an example of what to do, this is not for kings, the government, what's supposed to happen. This is not a good system. Okay, that's my spiel. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
There's a couple of things that happened. You first started by the superstitions and things, but in the Gita it also speaks of knowledge in the mode of goodness and the mode of past and ignorance.
Yes.
And a man in the mode of ignorance doesn't do anything good for himself or anyone else. So we can see that these people, although this consciousness was there, they what they took to be a reality was an illusion. And that's the same thing that happens today. The whole bodily conception of life and Dhritarashtra becoming so contaminated and stuff like that. Although it appeared that they were learned, they weren't seeing through the eyes of knowledge. And the thing of the Gita is that Bhagavad Gita is not the speaker of the Gita. Krishna gives so many benedictions for studying the Gita, you know. And there's a qualification for really being able to hear the conversation properly, you know, like that. So it's so nice because I feel like the Mahabharata cuts, I always say that, it cuts the light on. It gives everyone a personality. They're real.
Yeah.
You know, everyone's real now. But you can see the illusion for such powerful people. Mm-hmm. They still see the illusion that they were under.
Yeah, I mean, the people want to they want to portray Duryodhan as a sympathetic light, but look, every single time that the superiors are giving him direction, he's rejecting it.
Yeah.
Whereas Yudhishthira is trying to follow the instructions of his superiors. Not only, I mean, there's Dhritarashtra, but also Bhishma, yeah. Drona. Yeah. And you know, and even at the end, Arjuna is not avaricious. He's not trying to do it for his own personal sense gratification. But then, you know, he does it because Krishna wants. That's great. So, the fight.
What we did miss is that Krishna, he was so many times, Krishna was really trying to get this going on. You know, Krishna was orchestrating.
All of it's orchestrated by Krishna. It's all, I mean, Krishna, in one sense, Krishna sent him in exile, right? Right? I mean, he's God, he can arrange everything. Yeah. Krishna sent him in exile. Krishna put him in.
Supreme dramatist.
Yeah. It's like, you know. I mean, so it's like when the cowherd boys go into the Agasura demon's mouth, and they're thinking, gee, I wonder how Krishna's going to save us.
Yeah,
right? They're going in there. They know Krishna's the Supreme Personality of God. But they're going right into the mouth of the demon.
That's why I was wondering about Yudhishthira, because it seems that he would have known or had some sense, but because of his faith in Krishna, he just knew that whatever would happen to them was Krishna's arrangement, so he was fine with it.
He made a choice. Should I reject the following authority and make that precedent, or should I just go along with this authority that I'm not sure that he's doing in my interest, but do that and depend on Krishna and see what happens.
So it's like basic teachings before we get to the Bhagavad Gita, like basic teachings of good and bad, or is it just like a background leading up to the Gita? Because you were saying before that the Mahabharata is really teaching us through stories.
Yes. Well, I mean, there's lots of other stuff. But I was just concentrating on the conflict, how the conflict developed, and why that brought him to this point. So that was what I was concentrating on more. There's so many. I mean, there's, you know, the Mahabharata goes on and on and on and on and on.
I'm also curious about Vidura's role, because is he kind of like a Narada Muni character who's going, kind of warning one side about what the other side's going to do?
Oh, no, he doesn't. He works primarily, I mean, he's equal to both, but he sees that the Kauravas are nefarious and doing nasty things, and so he's usually helping the Pandavas. I mean, when, after the Pandavas escaped the house of Lak, and then, you know, they were incognito for a while, and then they show up at Draupadi Swayamvar, the person who goes to get him is Vidura. Because I mean, the Pandavas understandably would be concerned and not sure that Dhritarashtra and company would have good intentions, because they just started to kill him, right? So they send Vidura to fetch them to come back to Hastinapur, because they knew that Vidura was a trustworthy person to the Pandavas.
But, and yet he's willing to act on their behalf.
On whose behalf?
It seems like he's working on behalf of both sides. That's where I get confused. Vidura.
How is he working? I mean, he brought them back. You mean because he brought them back to Hastinapur?
Well, just because he took orders from them. to go fetch the Pandavas. Like, just because he does what they ask him to do.
Yeah.
So what is his relationship with them? I guess I just don't understand.
Well, like I said, they had a management team. There was a management team, and there were some good guys on that management team. Bhishma is a good guy.
Right. All right. Okay.
Yeah. And Drona was, I mean, Drona was partial. I mean, he was both Bhishma and Drona. That's the reason that the Karna is such a powerful personality, because Duryodhan could have Karna on his side, whereas Bhishma and Drona were impartial. They were trying to support both sides, you know.
Okay.
They were trying to support, but they would, you know, see the side of the Pandavas and see the side of the Kauravas. And, you know, during the battle, Duryodhan got really mad at Bhishma because he said, "You're being easy on the Pandavas." You know this. You're being easy on the Pandavas. You know, you're fighting like anything everybody else, but you haven't killed one single Pandava. So then Bhishma said, "Okay, I've got 5 arrows here. I've got 5 arrows. And I'm going to use these 5 arrows tomorrow to kill all 5 Pandavas."
Mm.
You know that. Yeah. I mean, but the thing is, in palaces, there's so much intrigue. There's spies everywhere. There's spies everywhere. You can think about, how did Vidura know that Purochan was going to build this house of luck? How did he know that? It was basically, it was a secret. Mm-hmm. You know, there's spies everywhere, and he's, you know, that's what's going on. Same thing in the Vatican and any place. There are all these spies. Yeah, there are all these spies going on. So, yeah.
What happened with the 5 arrows? I don't know.
Oh, you don't know that?
I don't know that story.
Yeah, so there's 5 arrows. So then, what happened was, there were spies, so Krishna got word. They got word that this was going on. So Krishna goes to see Bhishma and says, "Okay, you know, it's the etiquette is that when somebody comes to your house, you give them, you welcome them and you give them ask them anything I can do for you." So Krishna says, "Yeah, you know, you got 5 arrows. I want those 5 arrows." So Krishna. So then that's what happened. He got the arrows. So then Bhishma knew. So he said, "Next day, in the fight, I will have Krishna. Either if Krishna doesn't join the fight, then Arjuna will be killed." So that's when Krishna took up the fight to defeat Bhishma. You know, there was a fight. Arjuna was down. That's when
he picked up the chariot.
Well, yeah, that's what happened. That's why he did that.
Did Krishna break his vow?
Yes.
To not fight, yes. Yeah. Because he had vowed he wasn't going to take part, right, in the fighting. But then at that time, the conch shell to end the fighting blew. During Bhishma's time, then they didn't fight over. It was only fighting with Kshatriyas. They weren't fighting with men, women, and all that stuff. But they weren't fighting at night either for that part. But then later they fought even into the night. They got carried away. Okay.
And is there any significance on this 13 years period, even in Ramayana also?
I don't know. There's 14 in Ramayana.
14 in Ramayana.
Yeah, it's 13, I don't know.
But I heard, I don't know whether it is true or not, but you know, according to Manusamhita, they send it to 13 years exile like that. So usually they never come back and then they reclaim their kingdom.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I know that in the Lord Chaitanya says, "Yugayitam nimishena chakshusha parishayitam shunyayitam jagatsaravam govinda virahenam." But I think that I'm missing you is every moment is like 12 years or more. Yugayitam, yugayitam. So it's sometimes translated 12 years, that's a long time.
I was always under the impression that Yudhisthira was kind of the diplomatic one, but Arjuna and Bhima, Nakula and Sahadeva, they wanted to fight. I don't know if that's true or not. They, like, when Draupadi was taken and disrobed, you know, they wanted to fight, but Yudhisthira was kind of holding them back.
Yes.
Yeah. And I was thinking, now Arjuna has his chance to fight, you know. The war's going to happen. Now is his chance. But then he gets soft. You know, it's like he now gets a feeling that there's feelings of attachment, and he becomes bewildered by them. But you know, before he was ready to fight. Now it's his turn to do it. And
Now he has doubts about it.
It was very interesting because, like, in just a short time before, he fought all of them, you know, after he got at the end of the exile at the kingdom of Virat. First thing he did when he fought there, what actually happened was part of the Duryodhan's party created a diversion, so Virat's army went off fighting else, fighting some, they stole some cows and stuff. So then there were only a few people left. And then that's when the Kauravas attacked with their main army to capture the kingdom. So so it was practically just Arjun and Virat's son, who was a coward,
yeah,
fighting the whole army of the Kauravas, practically. And he and Arjun fought him and defeated them all. The first thing he did was he sent an arrow that went to the feet of Drona and Bhishma and Kripa. Mm-hmm. One arrow there, and then right after that, he sent an arrow that went right by their ear. So they said, "Oh, this is Arjun," because there's obeisances and then challenge.
Oh my goodness! Wow.
So then you know, he fought all of them, and he defeated all of them. Yeah. And you know, Karna ran away from the battlefield, and so it's surprising, yeah. So then there's that element of Krishna's putting him in this situation to see so he can speak Bhagavad Gita.
Because it's kind of out of character.
Yes. Yes.
Well, Arjuna was also very good, soft-hearted by nature. Although he was a warrior, he was a very good person. And Krishna knew that when Arjuna would see those his family members in such a fighting spirit, that it would affect Arjuna. So Krishna was setting Arjuna up to, when he said, draw my chariot up, so I can see those who are desirous. He first said, behold, O Partha, Krishna told Arjuna, just see those who come here in such fighting spirit. And so then Arjuna tells him to pull up the chariot. And then Arjuna could see everyone. And he could see they're fired up. And he thought, this is when Arjuna's character began to manifest. It's not that he was cow, because he could see. He said, "I'm not willing to, you know, to kill them, you know, in exchange for, you know, wealth and, you know." He said,
"Yeah,
my teachers are there."
Yeah. In his previous battle after the Kuru, so it wasn't a fight to the death. What happened was they fought. Arjuna won, but he sent a weapon that put them all to sleep. So he defeated them. I mean, he defeated them, and then he gave away. They all went to sleep, and so then they went and collected booty and their helmets and stuff and their weapons and stuff like that, and they had to go back. But in this in the Kurukshetra, it's a fight to the death. I mean, this was people knew it was that was it. It was it.
You know, there's that Ayurvedic herb called Arjun. It's one of the most popular herbs, and it's for emotional courage.
Oh, okay.
It's for when, you know, if you're feeling like depressed, yes, or low energy, you take Arjun. Yes. It's good for your heart. It's also good for your emotional heart.
Arjuna Rishta. Arjuna Rishta, isn't it?
Well, that's a Rishta is like a wine that you can make.
Oh, okay.
Rishta means they're able to herbalize.
Oh, okay.
But the plant, the herb.
The plant Arjun itself. Oh, okay.
It's known for helping with emotional courage and strength.
Oh,
okay. Yes, sir.
Can you shed some light on King Virat? I mean, in a short.
I don't know. I mean, King Virat was, he had his daughter and his, he had a few sons. The Matsya province is a little south of Hastinapur. He didn't realize who the Pandavas were while they were there working, being, you know, helping him and serving him in his kingdom. When he did, then he was shocked. When at the end of their year, what happened was Yudhishthira one day came and sat on Maharaj Virat's throne. And he came into the palace and he saw that, and he was shocked. But he recognized them and appreciated them. He was a devotee. He was a devotee of Krishna. But
in the Indian Navy,
yes,
there is one aircraft carrier, and it's named after Virat. So,
oh, really?
So I thought maybe he had some special qualities. Which,
mm-hmm. Well, he gave shelter to the Pandavas for that year. He was killed in the Battle of Kurukshetra, along with all of his sons.
By a particular Pandava?
I don't remember. No. He was on the Pandava side. He fought on the Pandava side.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, his grandson was Abhimanyu. Because